The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Mr. Rogers. We're not sure yet where he's going to get traded, but we can tell you when that's on the way. Meanwhile, our latest draft grades put the D in Big D, and Jerry Jones is not going to like it. You'll hear why coming up. Plus, we'll tell you why, if you are expecting a lot from this QB quickly, you are going to be disappointed. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a terrific Tuesday. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We are jam-packed, big hoops on the way, and then tons of football. And look at the squad we've put together. David Pollack is with us, will not eat carbs. Marcus Spears with us, he definitively will. Diana Russini is breaking news. We're getting busy this morning, and it starts, however, with the big tilt last night. The Warriors and the Pelicans and the superhero of the night on the night where the Marvel Arena of Heroes was taking place in the Big Easy. It was Iron Man looking on from the Jumbotron. But Steph Curry put on a superhero performance all night long. Early going, Warriors up 17. Look at the ISO on Zion. Not a good matchup for Zion. That's 28 feet and good. Steph had 17 in the first. Early in the third now, Warriors by 10. Curry, oh, Eric Bledsoe goes down. And Curry goes up later in the third. Warriors up 13. Curry, another step back contested three. I mean, when he gets going like this, 15 points for Steph in the third. Fourth quarter, Warriors lead is 15. Curry working on Zion again. And once again, loses his man. That's just unfair. 41 points for Steph Curry. 8 threes, added 8 assists. And the Warriors win this going away. 123-108. After that barrage last night, Steph has 299 threes this season, tied already for the fifth most in a single season ever. There have been four instances of a player with over 300 threes. Steph has three of them. And, of course, he will join that list with his next once again. But he wasn't the only one with a spectacular performance last night. How about Russell Westbrook and the tear that he is on? Wizards, Pacers, first quarter, Wizards up 4. Westbrook, a rope to Bradley Beal, up and good. 6-point lead, just over 3.5 to go in the half. Westbrook with a rebound. And watch this pass. How about that with the long alley? He had 14 assists and 12 rebounds at the half to go with 8 points. Early third, Wizards up 16. Westbrook, this time, showing you the power in the lane. That's his 32nd triple-double of the season on that bucket. And then midway through the fourth, with this assist to Bradley Beal, Westbrook clinches a triple-double for the season. It'll be the fourth time that he averages a triple-double for the year, finished with 14 points, 24 assists, 21 rebounds, and the Wizards win it 154-141, defense optional. Russell Westbrook clinches, averaging the triple-double, and it'll be his fourth time. Oscar Robertson is the only other player to do so even once. It was also Russell's second career game with 20 boards and 20 assists. He's done that three times, or it's been done three times in league history, two of those now by Russell Westbrook. So some spectacular performances in the NBA. Speaking of spectacular performers, the genesis of the feud between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers can date back to that moment when Jordan Love was drafted in the first round a year ago. Rodgers responded to that selection by going out and winning his third MVP award. He threw the most touchdowns and led the league in completion percentage and total QBR. It was a spectacular performance, which brings us to where we are now. Rodgers is disgruntled. Coach Matt LaFleur says he can't fathom no Rodgers in Green Bay. But can Rodgers fathom going back there? Well, yesterday, Devontae Adams threw some fuel on the fire with this cryptic tweet. He tweeted, "Gotta appreciate what you got while you got it." I'm sure no one will overreact to that. Here's Rob Domofsky, our outstanding Packers reporter. Rob, what happens now? We've seen where we've been, and we see where we are. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, Greeny, they haven't traded him, right? They said they weren't going to trade him. But here's a key date when they might trade him, and that's after June 1st. I've already got it written on my calendar. June 2nd, 7:05 a.m., I'm on with Greeny to talk about what happens now, because they might trade him then. And the reason? Because that's when the salary cap hit will be less for them if they move on. Right now, if they traded him, and there's no point in trading him now because they didn't do it before the draft where they could have gotten immediate help, but they would have saved only about $5 million on their salary cap. If they do it after June 1, they pick up $25 million on their cap right away.
What can you tell us about the readiness of Jordan Love to play? What one of the pieces of this is that the Packers have drafted their quarterback of the future. Are they ready for that future to begin? What do we know about Jordan Love's readiness to start playing?
The plan all along, Greeny, was never to have Jordan Love play in 2021, unless something happened from an injury standpoint. Remember, he was the third string quarterback last year. That means he wasn't even active for any of the games. It means in practice, he ran the scout team, got almost no reps with the regular group. It was a process that they had planned to bring him along slowly from the get-go. In training camp, he threw like 50 passes, you know, not very many when you talk about a 2-3-4 week training camp that they had last year. So it was never the plan. Now, could they accelerate it and have him be ready for this September? Possibly. But if Rodgers doesn't show, or they trade him, or whatever the case may be that Rodgers isn't here, don't be surprised if they try to find a veteran to gap between Rodgers and Love.
Now, it's fascinating. It feels like they had their timetable, and now Rodgers has stepped in and said, no, we're going to do this on my timetable. So let me finish it with this. You have covered the Green Bay Packers for 24 years. What percent chance would you give that Aaron Rodgers is their starter week one this fall?
When this whole thing went down initially with Shefty's report on Thursday, I thought it was very, very small chance. Dari Noka asked me on Saturday morning on ESPN Radio what the chances were, and I said less than 5%. I'm sticking with that, Greeny, because one thing I did yesterday was talk to somebody in the Packers organization and said, is there any update? And the response was, not unless you've gotten our quarterback to come back.
5% or less. That means there's a 95% chance Aaron Rodgers is someone else's starting quarterback this fall. Rob Domofsky, outstanding work as always. Thank you. Let me bring the rest of the crew in this morning again. David Pollack, Marcus Spears, and Diana, I will start with you. So June 1st or thereabouts is the date to watch. What are you hearing from around the league about all of this, about teams to watch, about all the many stories that stem from this bombshell involving Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, let's empty the barrel here. First of all, Rob is spot on when it comes to this June 1st date. This is what league circles have been sharing with me. If you're going to see any movement with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be after that June 1 date. So let's talk about how everyone else is looking at the Packers right now from the outside. I had one head coach yesterday say, this reminds me of a marriage where one partner wants to get counseling and the other partner doesn't. And we all know those couples out there in the world, and we know what happens, right? They get a divorce. There's certainly a feeling that this is not going to work out. I know Rob uses that 5% way of describing it. And look, there's no way to really put a percentage on it. I can just tell you around the league, there aren't a lot of people that have belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to return to the Green Bay Packers. The Denver Broncos continue to be the team I hear that are going to be the most interested and are going to put the most in front of the Green Bay Packers to try to make this trade go down. Just adding one more layer to what Rob was adding in terms of talking to the Packers. I've had some conversations with the organization as well. And the sentiment there and the feeling I get at this point is deflated. They are absolutely deflated at this point, as we know they've been trying to fix this. They've been trying to mend it, but for them, they know this is up to a very strong, stubborn, smart quarterback named Aaron Rodgers, who's going to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
So, Marcus, I was watching you guys on NFL Live when this story broke, and I saw you literally twirling around in a chair that didn't spin. You were spinning and the chair was not. And I've been waiting since that moment to get your perspective on all of this. So as you sit back and you hear 5% and we start talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in, I mean, it still seems surreal that this is where the conversation is. Where are we in your head?
Gee, it's over. It's over. And I said a year ago Aaron Rodgers was going to want to leave Green Bay, sitting on this show with you. And some believed it, some didn't. But I saw this coming from a mile away. I mean, if you think about the history of Aaron Rodgers, you think about how disgruntled he was when Jordan Love was drafted. People talk about the weapons that they need and all of these things that come into play. But you know me, G, until you say something publicly, bro, it don't matter. And when the quarterback, the franchise, the face comes out and says, I no longer want to be here, that's 100% out of there. Unless it's a miracle. Listen, it is going to take a miracle for Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And we all have to remember, yes, Shefty broke the story Thursday. We were getting ready for the draft. Mark Murphy has been to the West Coast. Matt LaFleur has been to the West Coast. Gutekunst has been to the West Coast to talk to Aaron Rodgers. The explosive that happened during the draft is a manifestation of a lot of work, a lot of talks. So it's not like Aaron Rodgers just up and said, I want out. He said, I want out after people have made attempts to try to rectify the things that's going on in Green Bay. That's why I firmly believe he'll never play for the Green Bay Packers again.
David Pollack, what are your thoughts?
First of all, Marcus, I think you're a man that believes in miracles. I know I do. I believe in miracles. So I think it could happen. And saying there's a chance it could happen. I know there's a lot to take in and there's a lot to make happy with Aaron Rodgers. But again, I do go back to a couple things. This is a good situation. This isn't a horrible situation. This is a situation you've been in for 16 years. So I want to give it a chance to talk about what Diana talked about. Like, let's get to counseling. Let's keep trying to get to counseling. Don't give up yet until you can get to that point. If you're Green Bay, you still own his rights. You can still make it exceptionally difficult on him. But Greeny, whenever you're ready, I do have a great idea for a trade partner in the end that I think could make a lot of sense with Aaron Rodgers and his future if the counseling doesn't work and it doesn't take and they got to go different directions.
I was born ready for that, David.
Hold on a second. Yes. Didn't I just tell y'all the damn man been in counseling for a year? Didn't I just say that they've tried counseling already?
Up. And now everybody. Hey, they still so in the we same found house, out, Marcus.
And they, now they need to go to counseling.
Yet. They're still working.
Bro, listen. If me and my wife was going through something and I made 3 cross-country trips to try to get it fixed and kept calling and kept dialing and kept texting and kept telling her friends how much I love her, how much I want her, that's what the Green Bay Packers been doing. Matt LaFleur said, I couldn't even imagine a day without having Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. You think Aaron Rodgers give a damn about that? He just went public a week ago saying he don't want nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers.
Y'all, Marcus, I know you're sweet, they've
been to counseling. It ain't working.
Here's what I think is happening.
So you're telling me, Marcus, you're telling me that with your wife, all you've invested all these years, and you're telling me that you're just going to be like, I ain't going to stop. I'm going to stop calling. Forget it. I'm going to give up. A year? I'll do whatever it takes for my baby doll. I'm just telling you right now. I'll walk through whatever I need to walk through. I'll say whatever
years.
I need to say to make it happen, bro.
We ain't trying to make your wife cook a good dinner. We talking about making all of these trips and doing all of this talking and sending flowers and all of that. At some point, you would think that the opposite would say, you know what? They really want me. Let me try to work this out. Y'all, I keep harping on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers didn't just start going through this Thursday when Shefty broke the news. This is not something that is new, like we coming back from it. They've been going through this.
All right, I have to break here. I'm going to come back to all of this. I promise. David, I think the moment you give up is when the movers are in your house. when they're actually moving furniture out of the house.
And you're like,
correct.
Well, I guess we're doing this. We might be at that moment. We'll find out. But I definitely want to hear your team. We have a ton of this to come as we continue, including the fact, did you hear what Terry Bradshaw had to say about Aaron Rodgers? Oh, if you haven't, you're not going to believe it. That's on the way. We'll get to that in 15 minutes here on Get Up. Plus, Jerry Jones got defensive in this draft in a big way. So why is one of our analysts putting the D on Big D? You'll hear that as we continue. Oh, we're fired up. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, and in addition to Aaron Rodgers, we're still reverberating from the draft, and let's bring in our draft insider, Matt Miller, with some grades. Matt, how did you think the Steelers did?
Greeny, I thought the Steelers did a great job, not only getting Najee Harris, but addressing the interior offensive line. Dan Moore and Kendrick Green are maulers. They're going to push the pile for Najee. And then getting a great tight end of Pat Freiermuth, he's going to have them remembering Heath Miller at the tight end position. So a great job of the Steelers. Maybe didn't address the quarterback of the future like we thought they would, but they get Big Ben a ton of help.
So they were trying to play it for this year. How about the Jets, 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 Jets?
I promise I'm not just sucking up because I'm on your show this morning. The Jets did a great job. Obviously, Zach Wilson will dictate the success of this draft, but trading up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, who I believe will be an all-pro type player at the left guard position, was a home run for them. Also, Elijah Moore slipping to the second round, staying there at 33, not trading out, drafting Elijah Moore, giving Zach Wilson that help he needs at wide receiver.
And then Michael Carter, the running back on round 4. How about the Dallas Cowboys?
They started off so well with missing on Patrick Surtain, but still getting Micah Parsons. And even in round 2, I think Kelvin Joseph will be a solid player. I don't know what happened in round 3. They started drafting players who would have been there on day 3. Osa Odighizuwa, that's a reach. Chauncey Golston, that's a reach. Getting the corner, who I had rated number 315 overall, Dallas started well, but man, things fell apart in a hurry on day 3.
And so we see the D in Big D from Matt Miller. And so I turn to my favorite Cowboy, and that is Marcus Spears. But I'm seeing the eye roll. We got the patented Swagoo eye roll. What do you think, Marcus?
I just was with Matt in Cleveland. We had a great truck ride. We talked about it. I told him he was balling out. Then he come give my Cowboys a D. Listen, I don't agree, obviously. I don't agree at all, right? But here's the thing. To that point, like, I look at this draft and I look from a depth standpoint, and you think about the Cowboys and what they did this offseason bringing in Dan Quinn. I think Micah Parsons and Kelvin Joseph are going to be two guys that can really major in this 4-3 defense in this scheme. Hopefully the pass rush is better. And then I like Bohanna. Like, that's the one for me that I thought was a significant need, a big physical plugger in the interior of this defensive line coming out of Kentucky. Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in the draft. That we talked about that for almost a month and a half, and linebacker became a pressing need. Obviously, they would have loved to have one of these corners, but I don't just throw Kelvin Joseph out there. I think Kelvin Joseph can play. I watched him. He transferred from LSU, went to Kentucky, had some success. Obviously, he has some places to grow, but I think these first two picks will do a lot for this defense going into this 4-3 with Dan Quinn. I don't give them a D. I thought they did well. I gave them a B+.
How about you, Mr. Pollock?
Well, I think Jabril Cox is one of the best cover linebackers in this draft. I think that's another good pick. Probably a great pick in the fourth round, no doubt. Here's the thing. Everybody knew Dallas wanted a corner. Like, we all mocked Dallas having a corner. Yeah. And the two teams in front of them took corners. And I think it's a great thing that it happened because I think Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in this draft, and he will prove that. So I think the draft is better than it looks. Did they reach for some players? Yeah. They obviously had some guys they wanted. Loudermilk in the fifth round, I don't really understand that too much either. When you look at the Cowboys, when I think about Freiermuth in the second round, I think that's a little bit of a reach. I look at this offense, I feel like they could have done more at that spot to help them out defensively. They reach with right at corner probably. But again, Micah Parsons will be the best player, defensive player in this draft, and it so happened that people forced them to take Micah Parsons. They're going to be glad they did.
Yeah.
So Marcus, having now lived through this draft weekend, going back to the conversation that you and I have been having for quite some time now, who do you think emerges as the team to beat in the NFC East after draft weekend comes and goes? Marcus Spears.
the Dallas Cowboys. What, you thought I was going to change it, G, because we after the draft? Like, oh you – no, right. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, this is the best quarterback in the division. I don't plan on the offensive line being decimated, and as much as I love what the Washington football team defense is, I'm a defensive guy. They building it right. They got Samuel, brought him over from Carolina. Like, they are going to be really good. They drafted well as well, but I still believe the Dallas Cowboys will emerge because of Dak Prescott, because of this offense. And I'm telling y'all this right now. I'm making a prediction. The old 1400 Zeke Elliott will return this year for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'll make a different prediction. David Pollack, what do you think of this? If you look at the relative strength and weaknesses of the two units, I think Washington's offense is better than Dallas's defense. And I think Washington's defense is better than Dallas's offense. I've got the Washington football team running away with the NFC East. Pollack, what do you think of that?
I love it, Greeny. I love it. Listen, we talk about defense not winning championships anymore, and offense does, but I love Washington having Fitzpatrick now. You got a guy you can trust. You know what he can bring you. Surrounding him with weapons, completely agree. When you look at Washington, they can make life difficult on you regardless. I think we get Dak Prescott and we say, hey, Dak's going to come back. This offense is going to be great. I think it has the potential to. Dak had a serious injury. That wasn't like some little bitty injury that I think he just – you plug him and play right away. I think it's going to take some time for him to get his footing underneath him. I don't think he'll scramble as much as he probably did in the past, but I'm all on board with you. I think Washington wins the division.
Let me quickly get Matt Miller back in here. Matt, because no one paid any attention to Jamin Davis that Washington took at 19.
I was going to bring him up.
It's a phenomenal pick.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about defensive rookie of the year, if you want to get on some early odds for that, put your money on Jamin Davis with Washington. They have the best defensive line in football. He's just going to stand back there and clean up. No disrespect to Micah Parsons. He was my number two defender in this class behind Patrick Surtain. Jamin Davis is a hell of a player who's going to be like Darius Leonard in Washington. So I was nodding my head yes when you're talking about Washington's defense is probably as good as Dallas's offense. I'm still a little worried about the secondary, but that front seven is going to cause nightmares for everyone.
All right, got to pause on this one too, despite Marcus's face, which is tempting, but I have to go to a break. We will come back. We have so many things to recap as this morning continues. Oh, coming up, you're not going to want to miss this. The original DB12, Terry Bradshaw, with some harsh words for Aaron Rodgers. Did he go too far? You'll hear what he said. And then LeBron once praised the play-in tournament. So is he right ripping it now? We'll talk about that with the fellas as we continue. Oh, we're just getting rolling. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back with a different spin on the biggest story in the NFL. You know Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. You may know that a number of former players have reacted to the news, including Steelers legend Terry Bradshaw, who had this to say in an interview with WFAN's Moose and Maggie. Listen.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one?
Wow. He went on to say that we had Warren Moon yesterday saying that he's being too sensitive. I was going to start with David, but I have to start with that face. Marcus, is Aaron Rodgers too sensitive?
I don't think so, G, not in this particular situation, because it's something that's been manifesting over a period of time. If this was just an adverse reaction and Aaron Rodgers just woke up this year or one day and said, I want out, then we would have a different conversation. But I don't think it's being sensitive when you feel like the organization hasn't set you up particularly for success. Now, that's sensitive. He could be a little bit out of line when it comes to what this team and front office and what they've been able to accomplish. Like, they've been to the NFC Championship 2 out of 3 years. They are doing something right in Green Bay. Like, I understand two things can be true. Aaron Rodgers cannot like people in the front office or not like what they've done offensively or not like what they've done in the draft. But from the Green Bay Packers perspective, and I know having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback before anybody start hollering does help you get to NFC championships. But I don't remember us talking about how bad the offense was. I remember us talking about the defense holding the Green Bay Packers back, and that's what they drafted. I don't know what you do. It seems to me this front office has done a good job getting this team to a position where they could potentially compete for a Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers has to take some responsibility from a football side as far as not being able to come through and get to a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback. If we going to kill every other quarterback for not making it happen, Aaron Rodgers is not above reproach either when it comes to plays that he could have made or should have made in order to put them in a Super Bowl. So both of those things can be true.
David, what do you think? Warren Moon, too sensitive. Terry Bradshaw, that's soft. What do you think of that?
What quarterback isn't too sensitive in the NFL nowadays? I mean, they're quarterbacks. They don't get touched anymore. If somebody comes near their legs, they're like, that's a penalty. God. I mean, every quarterback in the league is sensitive. Tom Brady's sensitive. He goes elsewhere. Like Russell Wilson, who's one of the most class personified go Hawks all the time. He's sensitive. They're all freaking sensitive. That's not a news flash. But here's one thing that's, I think, very interesting. And listen, maybe me and Marcus will get to this point. Maybe we'll be the older guys that are get off my lawn guys. Who cares? Like, everybody that gets older, they all have an opinion, and everybody's soft. And Dr. J, didn't he just come out with his list and left LeBron James off his list because he's the free agency and people getting together? Listen, the old guard never likes how the new way does it. The new way is if you complain and you whine, you can get shipped out to a better situation. That's kind of the way it works, and the quarterbacks are the top of the list.
That is a really good point. Diana.
Oh, I'm glad you asked me if he was being too sensitive, because I kept thinking about the line I use in my marriage when I fight with my husband and he's like, you're so sensitive. I'm like, no, it's not that I'm too sensitive. It's what you're doing. That should be your priorities, making sure I don't feel this way. And that's how I view it with the Packers, is they knew that this train was coming, and it was coming quick. And we know that they've met with them, and we know they've tried to do everything behind the scenes. Mike, there are things we don't even know that we haven't reported that the Green Bay Packers have done to try to make this work. They've done everything they can, which is why so many people around the league think that this divorce is imminent. But here's the thing, Greedy. We have a lot of people in the NFL that watched this show this morning, and I had one GM watch us talk about this earlier, and he said, you guys need to understand, organizations don't want to set a precedent that this is okay, that you can just be angry and annoyed and say you want out and quit on your team when you're contractually obligated. This is what's going to make this really difficult, because once we see one team do this, then everyone's going to want to start moving out, and then we got the NBA. So this is something to keep in mind as well, as the rest of the league is watching in on this going, what move are the Packers going to make here? Because this marriage, it can't work.
Marcus, why are you doing that?
Because I'm not, this, Diana, this is not coming at you. Herein lies one of the problems with the NFL. I understand. No, I'm going at whoever texted her or called her during the break. They cut you anytime they get damn ready. They get rid of players. They send them off. Now players are trying to control some of their future, some of the priority. And listen, we're talking about this particularly with Aaron Rodgers because Green Bay wanted to usher in a new era at some point. We've said it 100 times. Aaron Rodgers sped that process up. But GMs, owners, coaches talking about they need to honor contract. Well, y'all honor the contract then. Y'all honor it all the time. when a player is out there balling and he gets injured, don't put an injury clause in there. Pay him all his money. Do all of those things that you want players to do, and then you could text Diana whatever the hell you want to text her. But don't tell me nothing about players trying to set a new precedent. They have not done right based on Aaron Rodgers' experience, and he wants out. Guess what happens if a player don't do right based on that organization idea of what he should do? He going to be out. All that stuff. Yeah, y'all, they can miss me with that, Diana. Not you, DR. I'm talking about these GMs and people talking about players shouldn't be doing that.
Let me leave that there 1 second because I got Kendrick Perkins waiting, and he's bigger than all of us. But we are coming back to this, I promise. But we got to get to the Laker game last night and the very latest with them because there's a lot to talk about there. Anthony Davis and the Lakers, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. Good game, late fourth. Nuggets down 14, but Jokic not giving up. What a tough shot. Now it's a 12-point game. Under four to go, it's an 8-point game, and it's Jokic again. Just watch the footwork. This keeps it alive. Left hand, he would score 32. 2 minutes to go, Nuggets down by four. Facundo Campazzo kicking it to Michael Porter Jr. That's a three, but hold on. They call Campazzo for the offensive foul. He can't believe it. Less than a minute left. Lakers leading by two. Davis, floater in the lane. That's up and good. He scored 25. Davis pumped. Lakers up four. Less than 30 seconds. Lakers by two. Talen, Horton, Tucker, tough shot. Gets it back. And gets it to go. It's a 4-point Laker lead. 15 seconds left. Nuggets down by four. Looking for three. Campazzo. That is blocked. Look at the closeout from Anthony Davis. And the Lakers, playing without the injured LeBron, get a big win over the Nuggets. 93-89 as they are trying to play their way out of the play-in tournament. And their remaining schedule is tough. They have a huge one coming up Friday when they travel to Portland to face the Trailblazers. The Lakers are right now one game ahead of number seven, Portland, in that play-in tournament. Speaking of which, in case you haven't heard it, this was what LeBron thought of it when he talked about it on Sunday.
If this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
So he says whoever came up with the play-in tournament should be fired. Our friend Frank Isola tweeted, great thing about player empowerment is you're never held accountable, like agreeing to a play-in tournament then calling for someone to be fired because of it. Similar to Kawhi making the Clippers move heaven and earth to get PG-13, and when it fails, Doc got fired. That's power. That's an interesting perspective, and let's get into it. Oh, look who's here. Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe are ready to go. Big Perk, I'll start with you. We touched on this briefly yesterday, but what do you think of that? LeBron now all of a sudden calling out the play-in tournament. What is your reaction?
You know what, Greeny? You know, Braun is my guy. You know how I feel about him, but man, he is so wrong in my opinion. When I look at the play-in tournament, you know what? Part of it, you could blame organizations and the players because for every action, it's a reaction. And load management is part of the reason probably the day that we have play-in tournaments. Hold guys accountable. Hold organizations accountable. No more tanking. No more load management. You know, now guys they can't afford to take regular season games for granted no more. Greeny, here it is, right? You have people who pay their hard-earned money, now that arenas are back open, to come to games, bring their families to games, whatever the case may be, to come see certain stars. The stars may not play. You can't do that no more. I love the play-in tournament. I'm a huge fan of it. Hey, and it is what it is.
You are so right, and I am so happy to hear you say that. Zach Lowe, what do you think of all this?
I love the play-in tournament, too. And look, the Lakers have been hit harder by injuries than almost any team in the league. Every team got hit by the virus and injuries. But when you lose two of the top six players in the NBA, including the best player, for that amount of time, you've been hit harder. But you know what? Everyone gets hit, and everything Perk said is true. Less tanking, more stars playing. And last night was the whole point of the play-in tournament. A Nuggets-Lakers game was must-watch TV, and the Lakers without LeBron James gutted it out against the Nuggets team, by the way, that's missing Jamal Murray, Monte Morris, Will Barton,
and doing nothing but winning and no whining at all. And the Lakers gutted out in thrilling fashion. And guess what, Greeny? Most projection systems now have them about 80 to 85% likely to finish fifth or sixth, which gives them like a 98% chance of making the playoffs. All of a sudden, all is right in the world. Everything's fine because of one game that was exciting because of the play-in tournament. And also, Warriors-Pelicans, exciting because of the play-in tournament. Two stars who might be left out of the playoffs if not for this play-in possibility.
And so how about this idea that all of a sudden, you know, the Mavericks might be in it so Mark Cuban doesn't like it, and now the Lakers might be in it so LeBron doesn't like it. Zach, I mean, what? It seems everyone loves the play-in tournament idea until they might wind up in it.
And look, I was sympathetic to Mark Cuban saying this season is just a horror show. The amount of games, they're relentless, the injuries, the virus. Why are we adding stuff to this season? I was sympathetic to that plank of the argument. But look, I hope that this event goes well. I hope that it draws ratings and does and makes money because I think it's good for the league. And I hope that this sort of bevy of criticism happening now doesn't turn the ownership against it.
I totally agree with you. And finally, Kendrick Perkins, if the Lakers are healthy, if by the time we get there, play-in tournament or not, LeBron, AD, Schroeder, all of them are fine. Are they definitively the team to beat in the West?
No, Greeny. I mean, I'm looking at teams like the Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns, the Clippers. And here's the thing. I don't see LeBron James coming back 100% healthy no time this season. He looks 60% right now. And Greeny, listen, I know people think working out outside of basketball, running suicides and things to that nature gets you in shape. Nothing gets you in shape like playing the game of basketball. And it may take some guys 10 games, some guys 15 games. So, no, I got a lot of concern there for as LeBron James being able to get enough games under his belt to really hit his peak and get his workload where it needs to be for him to perform at a high level, because right now he's 60%.
They are our dynamic duo, Big Perk and not quite as Big Zach. Guys, thank you very much for giving up outstanding, as always. As we continue, we'll tell you why. If you are expecting a lot from this QB quickly, you are going to be disappointed. That is on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back with David Pollack and his dadgum draft with three draft picks that made David say dadgum. Go ahead, David.
How about them dadgum Bengals, baby? Jamar Chase, listen, Penei Sewell, we got to take Penei Sewell. Got to sure. Bull crap. Let's go get me another weapon to make Joe Burrow even more dangerous. Yes, please, Boyd, Higgins. Listen, you got Riley Reiff in the offseason. Hopefully, Jonah can stay healthy now up front. Listen, another weapon, another guy like that that can win? Yes, please. Up at end of the spectrum. Ain't that the Raiders? Alex Leatherwood. First round, really good player. Probably would have been drafted in the first round, maybe later in the first round. It seems like every year we do this with the Raiders, and they have a certain number of guys from a certain number of schools that they go after, and they're like, we're getting them, bro. No matter what, that's our guy. So I think everybody kind of went, daggum, there it is again. There's the Raiders doing what the Raiders do. So last one, I think Justin Fields. You know, he's a guy that was very polarizing, right? A lot of people loved him. Some people were cooler on him. But the daggum Bears said, listen, we ain't had a quarterback in a hot minute. We're going to have to do something about this. Job's on the line. I'm betting on Justin Fields. Justin Fields, a trade up, get to 11, pick him. You could tell he's a flatliner. He wasn't fazed, but the Bears got their quarterback, and let's see what he can do to save the coach and to save the GM.
It is certainly going to be daggum interesting to see how that turns out. The Bears' recent history of drafting quarterback has been daggum lousy. Fields, Trubisky, Grossman, and McCown were all first-round picks. Fields will look to have much more success in Chicago than any of them have. You can go back farther than that, really, if you're looking for it. I mean, they've been around 101 years, and they still haven't quite gotten the quarterback thing figured out in a big way. And so I just want to sort of come back to that. David, do you think that Justin Fields lands himself in a good place or a bad place, all things considered?
You just laid out that beautiful history of quarterbacks. How the heck am I going to say it's a good place, Greeny? I mean, that's a tough act to follow. Listen, when I look at Justin Fields, I think he's got some goods and he's got some special stuff, but you're going to a place that they haven't had success. The weather stinks. He's used to it with Ohio, which is really good. I want it for the Bears. Like, such a great fan base, such great defenses, such great history, such great tradition. Not at the quarterback spot. Just consistently, it's a mixed bag and it's not very good. So, no, I don't have a lot of faith that Chicago all of a sudden turns it around with Justin Fields and they start becoming dynamic on offense.
Here's the part of it that I worry about, Marcus, and you tell me what you think, because he walks right into some of the business side of the NFL immediately. You've got a coach with a lot of pressure on him. You have a general manager with a lot of pressure on him. It's hard enough to come in and try to be a quarterback in the National Football League with already having to deal with some of the nonsense before it even begins. That's a concern for me. Marcus, is it a concern for you?
Not when it comes to Justin Fields. And I think about his history. He's built the right way, G. You think about him transferring from Georgia. You think about fighting to get a season played. Everybody talks about his leadership. You see players that play hard for him. And then, too, man, let's look no further than Cleveland, Ohio, and how franchises and organizations can change. Now, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace may not be a part of that. Obviously, Cleveland had to go through their front office changes and head coaching changes. But you see when an organization makes it a point to get everybody aligned. And sometimes, and I'm hoping for Justin, unlike they did with Mitchell Trubisky, I'm hoping that the Chicago Bears front office, general manager, head coach, everybody aligns and has a plan, not only for Justin Fields, but the direction that they want the Chicago Bears to go. I watched the Cleveland Browns suffer my entire life. And Kevin Stefanski in the front office with Andrew Berry and Baker Mayfield putting him in a position to be successful. You see how they've drafted, how they built this team. That is possible for the Chicago Bears during Justin Fields' tenure. I don't know how this year would go. I think he'll face adversity and do well. But the bottom line is, I've seen this now with the Cleveland Browns and a few other organizations, so I'm not going to leave them out for dead just yet.
And Diana, I opened the show by saying that people who want to see Justin Fields immediately might be disappointed, because I saw you have interesting information on what their plan is for him.
Yeah, GM Ryan Pace shared that they really want to take that blueprint that we saw in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes 3 years ago, and we saw Mahomes sit behind Alex Smith, despite the fact I had heard in training camp that Patrick was already better than Alex Smith that year, by the way, which I always think about. Imagine if he just started that rookie season. But first of all, I did think it was kind of funny, and I'm sure you did too, Greeny, to hear Ryan Pace actually say Patrick Mahomes' name. Hasn't said it in 3 years because, you know, we know how that goes. But yeah, so they basically just want to do that and use that same idea, right? So you got Andy Dalton, who obviously has tons of experience. We know his winning percentage isn't great, but they have a really good situation there. They have a veteran quarterback who can teach the young quarterback, and they can sort of stick with this blueprint until they're ready to pull the trigger and say, let's go, Justin. We got you some offensive linemen. We got you some protection. You've got a top receiver. Show us what you got.
David.
Well, I think what Marcus said was really important, because if you know Justin Fields, even if you don't know him, if you saw him on draft day, he's like this. He is a flat liner. Mm-hmm. Nothing phases him. I would say it's probably a detriment to him in football, because if you watch, he's like, yeah, cool, nope. Like, and you want to kind of see more from him. So I don't think the situation will be too big for him. I think he's built with the right stuff, and I think he's got enough of that in him where he'll stay calm. He won't let the outside noise, the pressure, the job security, all that stuff. And you're right. You're absolutely right, Diana. Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, two of the best human beings you're going to find in a quarterback room that can help you. I think that's a great jump start for Justin Fields, too.
Well, that's the thing. And Diana, what you're saying suggests at least some level of patience, which is something that we do not generally associate with the situation in Chicago right now. If everyone can be a little patient and not start firing people immediately, it'll help.
Yeah. And Mike, remember, Matt Nagy, the head coach, fell in love with Justin Fields. He made this pick, from what I can gather in terms of talking to people in that organization. This is the guy he wants. And it's hard to remember, but at one point, Maggie was considered to be a really smart, offensive-minded coach. So let's see if he can put it together with his guy.
He comes from that Kansas City background. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with much more on all of this as we continue in a moment. Coming up, the latest on Aaron Rodgers. When could the Packers actually trade him? Where could he go? Terry Bradshaw's calling him out. Oh, there's a lot to get to. And we will next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.